Hi everyone! Today we will see how to use machine learning databases. In particular, we will focus on MNIST, which consists of 70,000 images of handwritten digits. We will use a library called PyTorch to load MNIST, and then I will show you how to adjust its data so we can feed it to a neural network. Are you ready? Let's do this!
We will begin by copying the imports from the description. And you can also find all the different installation commands there as well. So first things first, let's load our database. We can do this by typing datasets.mnist, and we will assign this expression to a variable called training data. But that's not all. We will of course need to add some arguments to these round brackets. The first one would be the root folder where we'd like to store the images we're about to download. We will call this folder data, and next we will need to decide if we'd like to download the training data or the test data. Now the training data is very, very big. It has 60,000 different images, while the test data is much smaller. It only has 10,000 images. Now judging by the name of this variable, we will of course load the training set. And we can do this by typing train equals true without the typo, of course. Then we will need to download this data set, and we will also set download to true. Then lastly, we will add another argument called transform, and at first we will set it to none. We will talk about it later on. And then right before we run this cell, I would like to actually print the length of this training data. Now let's go ahead and run this cell with shift enter. And we can see we have downloaded 60,000 images. Great? Cool. Now let's see how these images look like. We will first load one with training data in the index of 8. And this will actually return two values. The first one would be the feature, which is the image itself. And the second value would be the target or the label. Now, in order to fetch the image only, we will focus on index 0. We can then assign it to feature, and we will do the exact same with our label. So we will copy this line of code, we will adjust index 0 to index 1, and we will adjust feature to label. Now let's go ahead and print it. So we will first print the label, we will then print the size of our feature with feature.size, and lastly we will print the feature itself by simply typing feature. Let's go ahead and run it with shift enter, and there you go. We can see our label is a perfect match to our image, and we can also tell that each of our images would be 28 pixels by 28 pixels. If we then go ahead and change index 8 to index 432, for example, we rerun this cell, and we are fetching a brand new image with the exact same size. And we can load all kinds of different databases with PyTorch, and more specifically Torch Vision. For example, we could have used CIFAR10, which is an RGB database of colorful images of animals and objects. CIFAR10 only has 10 classes, while CIFAR100 has 100 different classes. And you can find among them frogs, birds, trucks, planes, and whatnot. Another cool database is Fashion MNIST, which consists of black and white images of clothing items. And we are also not limited to images only. We could have loaded a videos database, for example, HMDB51 that tracks human motion. We can then use this data to train our neural network about actions. So I'm actually going to include a link in the description of the video with all the available databases that PyTorch has to offer. Next, I wanted to talk about data transforms. Now, do you guys remember how in the last tutorial, we've said that slightly boosting brightness or slightly rotating an image will have a huge effect on its pixel values? So that's exactly what we're tackling with transforms. We randomly zoom out, we randomly zoom in, we randomly crop or rotate the image. We are basically adding a lot of variation to the original image. To do this, we will create a brand new variable above our training data, and we will call it training transforms. We will assign it to transforms .compose with a capital C. And since we're looking for a few of these transformations, we will pass them in a list. Now, the first transform in my case would be transforms.random resized crop. And then inside the round brackets, we specify the size of the image we would like to get in the end. Now, in our case, we will leave it at 28 pixels wide and 28 pixels tall, because that's the original size. Now, what this command will do is it will randomly zoom out, randomly zoom in, and it will crop the image to whichever size we specified in the round brackets. Now, the next transformation would be transforms. Google, you are so annoying! Holy smokes! And this transformation would be random rotation. And then inside the round brackets, instead of the size, we specify the angle. In my case, I would like to limit it to a rotation of 45 degrees maximum. And then we can go ahead and copy our training transforms variable name, and instead of the transforms equals none, we will specify transforms equals training transforms. We will now rerun this cell with shift enter, and we will then rerun the next cell as well, also with shift enter. And we get a very similar image, but it's not the same, because this time we have a slight rotation and we are also chopping off a few pixels from the top. Variation, at least when it comes to our training data, is very important. It's okay not to have transformation on the data you'll use for prediction, but the data you use for training, it has to be diverse. Cool, but we can't really feed this data into a neural network just yet. And that's because neural networks, they don't deal directly with images, but rather with something called tensors. That's why our very last transformation would be transforms.toTensor. We will then end this expression with an empty set of round brackets, and that's it. Our transformations are complete. However, if we were to deal with colorful RGB images, there are so many different things we could have added here. For example, we could have added random brightness. Or if we were not dealing with digits, we could have also randomly flip our images horizontally or randomly flip them vertically. There are so many different available transformations, and I'm actually going to include a link in the description so you guys can experiment a bit. I think it's really cool to try all kinds of different things and see how they affect your images. Now, when you do this, I highly recommend to comment out this transformation into tensor. It will be much more convenient to view them as images.
Awesome! Our data is now ready for training. So in the next tutorial, I will show you how to load a state-of-the-art neural network and how to adjust it for our needs. If you guys found this tutorial helpful, please give it a like, maybe subscribe to my channel, turn on the notification bell, leave me a comment, or share this tutorial with many, many people. Thank you so much for watching, and I will see you very soon in a brand new tutorial.